Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We should remind ourselves that the purpose of our practice is simply to express the truth of our life and the truth of all existence. And of course, at the same time, the purpose of our practice is to understand the truth, to know what we are doing and what our life is all about. The truth of reality, not just a relative truth of something that takes place today and perhaps changes tomorrow, but the truth that never changes. This is the purpose of our practice, and this is the purpose of our life. And this understanding will come through our experience. Not just through thoughts and words and ideas and our judgments, but through our experience, or being in the everyday world, being in life. And understanding a reality starts with understanding of ourself, of our humanity and our spirituality, understanding our mind and understanding how our mind works, what it is we do, and why and how we do these things. So our understanding starts with understanding ourself. And the more attention we give to understanding ourself, the more we will understand the bigger truths of life itself. Or in other words, as we say these days, to have the big picture of what's really, really going on. But understanding ourself is not so simple. It's not like a everyday problem that we solve through careful study. Understanding ourselves is a very subtle activity, because there are personal ideas and beliefs and biases that will interfere with this understanding if we don't go about it in the correct way. So explaining ourselves to ourselves requires ideas and words, but words are limited in their meaning. Words can only tell us so much, ideas, and ideas can only teach us so much. So for every statement and for every explanation, there's limitation. And the limitation will filter our understanding of reality. So we have to go beyond those skills and capacities that we develop as we gain experience in life. It's only through Zazen practice that we can experience things directly without interference and without distortion. So we practice here. We practice Zazen without opinions and without preconceived ideas. At least we try. We try. We try to practice without ideas about ourself or our life. In other words, we simply watch ourselves and acknowledge whatever appears without judging it good or bad or right or wrong or whether we like it or not. Just become aware and accept whatever appears. One of Dogen's writings called Kuge, translated means the flower of emptiness. Flower of emptiness. And in it he says, it is like a blue flower blooming in the tropical heat. If you experience tropical heat, surely you will experience the blue lotus. A blue lotus blooms in a fire. In order to learn where and how cut off consciousness, cognition, and private judgment. And this, of course, is the continuous message of Zen teaching throughout the centuries. Cut off consciousness, cut off cognition, thinking, private judgment. But what does he mean by tropical heat? Blue flower blooming in the tropical heat. What does he mean by tropical heat? And what does he mean by fire when he says a blue lotus blooms in a fire? It means everything is burned up. Or in other words, everything is purified. You have to burn up the cognition and the judgments and the thinking mind so that the blue flower can bloom. By tropical heat and fire, he means to say there are no extras, there are no traces, nothing gets in the way of seeing when we burn up all those extraneous activities of our mind. And this is Zazen, selfless Zazen. A determined and consistent spiritual practice. And of course, it's quite impossible to understand all this through our intellect. So we have to drop off relying only on our intellect. We have to rely instead on trust. Trust what our experience is showing us. And what is trust? Trust occurs when we meet someone or something face to face. Without doubts and without self-orientation. When we can do that, we can have the experience of them and of ourself. So when, in our daily life, when we hear something or read something, sounds interesting, we run it through our mind and we may feel good. They make us feel good or provide us some new information, and we may believe it. It may inspire us, we may put faith in it. But our mind always carries with it, you know, preconceived ideas, preconceived beliefs, and some limitations. So we cannot fully recognize the truth of things only through reading or hearing or thinking. They provide us, these activities provide us with a limited understanding of the truth. So we say that our practice is based on face-to-face transmission. Or Buddha to Buddha, teacher to disciple. Through communication that is beyond usual kind of communicating. When I first met Suzuki Roshi, you know, our founder, I didn't understand him. I didn't understand what he was saying. I didn't understand cross-legged sitting. What was the point of that? I didn't understand what he was saying or how he was saying it. Very, very confusing. But as I experienced him over time, I came to recognize something. His way of expressing himself was unusual. In that he was mindful and attentive, deliberate in his movements, and present in his relationships. That doesn't sound unusual. Sounds very natural and very ordinary. But it was not usual for the time, because the prevailing culture at the time was just the opposite. Speedy, distracted, and self-oriented. And as I appreciated his way of expressing himself like that, I began to trust it. I was part of the culture. I was speedy. I was distracted. I was self-oriented. I didn't say so at the time, but after being with Suzuki Roshi, it started to become clear to me. Oh, I begin to see myself. So I appreciated his way because it was very natural. Very natural. Just like nature itself. So even though I didn't quite understand what he was doing or what this practice was about, I trusted him, I trusted it, And little by little, I could meet with him quite intimately. So our practice, Zazen practice, is like that. We have to meet it face to face. You know, at first it's a bit confusing. The mind, our busy mind, doesn't know what to do in Zazen when we first start. People always complain when they first start, oh, I just can't keep my mind still. So we just have to learn to trust it. So we come and we sit down and we have an experience of ourself. And we try to have this experience without ideas, without philosophy, without beliefs, and without expectations or goals, just trust. So there's a kind of handy formula that we might use, that we might say to ourselves, which says, go slow, let go, and be still. If we can learn to do that, we will surely trust our practice and trust ourselves. But the age we live in is not like that. It's hard to be like that. Tell people to go slow and let go and be still, and they say, no, I can't do that. But if we want to know ourselves and know the nature of our life, it's important. So, I'm sure that when you first started practice, or if you are just starting now, even, I'm pretty confident you have some feeling that something is right about it. You have some sense that you have. And that the practice is actually expressing something very important. And although you may not understand it when you start, you simply follow that trust and that feeling. And as you continue your practice, that trust will grow. And you learn to accept and face the confusion that may arise and the difficulties in practice that may arise. Our difficulties and confusion in practice is the tropical heat that produces the blue lotus. And the fire? It means don't try to understand through your intellect. So when we come to practice and we start to experience some confusion about it, we may experience and recognize our own delusions. And as we accept that, we accept that that is happening, we learn to trust the practice for what it is revealing to us. And as we trust the practice, we trust ourself and we trust our activity. And we can create, with our life, we can create the Eightfold Path over and over again. The Eightfold Path, as you know, is a right view, right intention, right speech, right livelihood, right action, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. The more we practice and the more we trust what we are doing, we naturally express that way without being told, without being instructed, without any rules being applied. We naturally follow that way. So my experience of Suzuki Roshi was that he really was a teacher. He really was a true teacher. Not so much in what he said, which his words today are being read over and over again after his book has been published 50 years ago. His words are still being read. His book is still being sold. But the true teacher is someone whose activities you can trust, not just his words, whose activities and whose way of being, whose way of expressing himself you can trust. But to find a true teacher, you have to meet that one face to face, and you know, beyond politeness. And this meeting will occur through practice, through the experience of our own effort. So when we are fortunate enough to meet and trust a teacher, then it's a simple matter of meeting and trusting ourselves. And out of that meeting, we can understand reality and understand our life. Does anyone have a question about the practice?
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.